Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When those women that we read about in the gospel reading this morning arrived at the tomb that Easter morning, the angels who greeted them there did so with three unbelievable words of truth. He has risen. And then one of the angels reminded them that this miracle, as fantastic and amazing as it is, should really have come as no surprise to them. The angel told them, "Remember how he told you that this would happen." Remember. How many times during Jesus' ministry did he say that word to his followers, his disciples? Well, apparently, even though he said it a number of times, it still was not enough for them. We read in throughout the Gospels that Jesus' followers, his disciples, are described as being slow to believe, afraid, people who often had doubts arising in their minds. So Jesus said to them, "Remember." And the Apostle Paul, whose words we have here before us for our sermon text this morning, also told his young missionary student Timothy to remember. These words that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy were some of the last words that the Apostle Paul wrote ever in his life before he was killed for his faith and his evangelism in the name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul knew that his life on earth, his ministry in the name of the Lord Jesus, was nearing completion. He knew that very soon he would suffer a martyr's death at the hands of the Romans, all because of his bold testimony about Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Think about, what does a person usually do when he or she knows that their death is coming soon? What do they think about? Perhaps they think about childhood joys or memories of teenage freedoms. Perhaps they think about professional accomplishments that they have achieved. Or perhaps about fond memories of family and friends. But this is what was on the Apostle Paul's mind as his life was drawing to a close. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Now, in contrast to what much of the religious world thinks, the heart of the Christian faith really is all about remembering. Remembering what God has done for us. The main message that God has for us is not go and do this or that, but rather see and believe. This is what we remember this Easter morning. The great things that our Lord and Savior Jesus has done for us, so that through faith in Jesus, we might have the forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation. We really can't do anything else, can we? What else can we do on this Easter morning but simply go back again to the empty tomb, to gaze inside and then to ponder with amazement what our God has done for us, what all of this means for us? There's nothing else that we can do, and there's nothing else that we need to do, because God, in his rich grace and mercy, has already done everything for us. He has defeated our spiritual enemies. Our sin have all been forgiven. He has defeated death by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He has defeated hell and the power of the devil over us. Jesus rose from the dead in victory, guaranteeing to us that our sins all are paid for. Guaranteeing to us that by his power, he will also raise us up from death through faith in him. As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "It is God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So how could we possibly forget these great things that God has accomplished for us? Well, unfortunately, Jesus' followers today haven't really changed a whole lot from Jesus' followers there in the first century. We also have fears and doubts and Sometimes we also are slow to believe everything that God tells us in His Word. So that's all the more reason for us to listen carefully to what God the Holy Spirit says to us this morning through the Apostle Paul in our sermon text. Remember Jesus Christ. Jesus. Let's focus on that name for a little bit. That's the name that God the Father Himself gave to His Son. That name means Savior. Jesus came to this earth amid the quietness of that Christmas night on a mission that was actually a mission of violence and warfare. Jesus came to do battle with the forces of hell, with the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And throughout His ministry on this earth, Jesus was undoing the evil work of the devil. Jesus healed the sick. He drove out demons from those who were demon-possessed. He raised the dead back to life. But it was on Good Friday that this battle with the forces of evil reached its final decisive hour. Remember the writhing of the agony of the cross as God and Satan went head-to-head for our eternal salvation, for the possession of our eternal souls. That struggle between Jesus and the devil was a struggle to the death. And as we know, by the end of that day, Jesus, the very Son of God, lay dead in a tomb. But now He has risen. He is alive, and death itself is dead. And remember that Jesus is the Christ. Christ is a word that means the anointed one. Jesus is the one whom God anointed, or whom He handpicked for a special purpose, to be our champion, to be our Savior. Jesus is the Messiah whom God had promised through His prophets for thousands of years before Jesus was ever born. All those prophecies about the Savior from the Old Testament scriptures are all fulfilled in Jesus and His life. So why would doubts ever rise in our minds about whether our Christian faith is the right one? Jesus is the Christ. This doesn't just mean that He is the one that God appointed to suffer and die, but He is also the one that God appointed to rise and to live forever and ever. Jesus rose and He ascended to the right hand of God in heaven, where God's word tells us that He is now ruling over all things for our good. And we know that if He has the power to rule over all things in this world, He also has the power to save all people who believe in Him. Paul says, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. If there is perhaps one word that creates more doubt, more uncertainty, more terror deep down in people's hearts than any other word, it is probably that word, death. And that might be a little bit strange to us because we know that death is a part of life. We know that death is inevitably coming to friends, to family, to our spouse, to ourself. Death is very well known. We know it is going to happen, but still it fills us with fear. Why is that? Well, the fear of death comes from our knowledge of our sinfulness, which either we learn about from the Bible or simply from our own conscience, from the guilt that we feel in our hearts because we know that God punishes sin. Deep down, we know that there is a God and that He is holy and just. Deep down, we also know that we have failed to perfectly obey everything that God wants us to do. God requires us to live a holy and sinless life in perfect love for Him and for all other people around us. And so Scripture draws the inevitable and rather blunt conclusion for us that we die because we have sinned. That really is what fills our hearts with fear about death. We were created originally to be in harmony with God, but instead our sins have brought upon us God's wrath and judgment. God's word tells us that our sin separates us from God, separates us from His love and His blessings, His peace and His joy. Instead, it brings upon us God's sentence of guilty, guilty of eternal death. So what will we do? Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. Out of the tomb on Easter morning comes the one who has paid for our sins. He carried them to the cross, and then he left them in the tomb. Your sins are all gone. Your sins are dead. They are buried. Out of the tomb came a holy Lord Jesus Christ. On the cross, he had been covered with our sins. He took our sins upon himself, and he suffered death for our sins. But now he is alive, proof that God has accepted that sacrifice that Jesus made in payment for our sins. And so Jesus' resurrection is the very foundation of our Christian faith. That is what we celebrate today. Jesus' resurrection gives us certainty about our forgiveness and about all the promises of love and faithfulness that God has made to us. Look at what God has done for you. You can trust God with your life and with your eternal soul. Seeing Jesus Christ raised from the dead creates unshakable faith and hope that is ours, that is strong and firm no matter what happens in our earthly lives, no matter what troubles or sorrows we might face. Standing at a cold graveside where everything seems so final and so meaningless, it's precisely at that point that our Christian faith holds on to these promises of Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. That is our faith. That is our hope. And that is our joy, dear friends in Christ. And so that you may always have this faith and hope and joy, even on the darkest of days in our life in this world, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. And finally, remember Jesus Christ, descended from David. Now, that might seem like a kind of a strange thing for the Apostle Paul to add here at this point. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. Why the emphasis on descended from David? Well, David was a king, and we see that Jesus also was a king. He is the king of the whole universe, in fact. He is the Son of God himself, the eternal Son of God who wields all the divine power and glory of God. But King David was a human being, and Jesus, descended from King David, is also a true human being. It wasn't just the eternal Son of God who came out from that tomb on Easter morning, but it was also the Son of Man. It was a true fully human being like us who rose from the dead. By his resurrection, we are given a glimpse of the glory that will one day be ours also, when Jesus returns on the last day and by his almighty power raises all the dead back to life and glorifies the bodies of those who believe in him. We won't look on that day as we look now. Our slowly aging bodies that gradually reveal weaknesses and decline. We won't feel the same way on that day as we do now. The hurts, the pains, the aches, the handicaps, the illnesses and the diseases, the death. We won't ache or have heartache from shattered dreams and disappointments, from failures, from shortcomings, from sadness, and grief and sin. Rather, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Jesus Christ, who by his resurrection shows us that he has the power over death, will raise from the dead all people and glorify all who believe in him. And so what Job confessed, which we sing about in the song, I know that my Redeemer lives, we also confess and believe. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Regarding all these things that we have said this morning, the Apostle Paul says, this is my gospel. The gospel. The good news. But don't be confused by that statement from the Apostle Paul. This is not just his gospel. This is not just my gospel or your gospel, as if this were our personal, privately held religious beliefs or opinions. No, this is the gospel. This is the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ. This is God's own message of peace and hope to the world. God himself is the one who has spoken these things. And because God himself has said it, it is true. God spoke these things to the Apostle Paul, and by God's grace, he has also spoken these things to us. Your faith in God is secure and solid because this gospel is solid rock, not shifting sand. And so remember this gospel always, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Because as the Apostle Paul said in our second lesson, by this gospel you are saved. Always remember what your Savior Jesus has done for you. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is the gospel. Amen.